Sermon we may listen to this afternoon is made by Dr. Reverend W. Breedenhoff from our sister church at Launceston, and it's focused on Lord's Day 39 of our Heidelberg Catechism, the Fifth Commandment. In connection with this, we'll be reading from two passages from Scripture, Gospel according to Matthew and Paul's letter to the Romans. So Matthew chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 15. Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. And then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, that is Jesus, in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So far from Matthew. Let's turn together to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13. Romans 13, beginning at verse 1. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honour to whom honour." So far from our Bible readings. Let's turn together now to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39, which you can find on page 555 of your Book of Praise. Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104, where it is asked and answered, "What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honour, love and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me. Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand." Beloved congregation of Christ, shortly after Reverend Breedenhoff received the call to serve the Launceston Church, he began doing some research into Australian culture. He goes on to explain, "I needed to know what made Australians tick and whether I would be able to work in your culture. The Canadian and Australian cultures are different, and some people are good at making the shift, while for others it can be more challenging. Well, as I was doing this research, one of the websites I came across mentioned how if someone has made a rule, there will always be an Australian ready to break it. To put it in more technical terms, Australian culture tends to be anti-authoritarian, that is, against authority. And they explain this as coming from Australia's convict history. I'm not saying that this characterisation is right or wrong, but just noting that that's what some people say. Whether it's true or not, I'll leave that up to you. What I can tell you is that Canadians are often anti-authoritarian too. I don't know, maybe it's more prevalent here in Australia, but many Canadians often have a hard time with authority as well. In fact, it's a common problem all over the world. It's common for human beings in every culture to resist authority and even to hate authority. That's because a sinful nature is common to all human beings. All unbelief is anti-authoritarian. When you live in sin, you hate to have someone over you telling you what to do, whether it's God or a politician or a police officer or a teacher, an employer or a parent. And the only way you might tolerate it is if there is something to be gained by obeying or something to be lost by disobeying. For myself, I think of how seeing those signs about speed cameras make me more conscientious about how fast I might be going. I don't want a ticket. If the cameras weren't there and we could be assured that the police were off doing something else, perhaps we wouldn't think about our speed. Now, if we sometimes think this and we claim to be Christians, then how do we think the world looks at those things? Ever since Adam and Eve, the human race has been infected with a spirit of rebellion against authority. Whether it's parents or government or whatever other form of authority, it's in us to rise up against it. That's why we need the fifth commandment. This commandment is all about restraining our rebellion. It's about reigning in our desire to rise up against all forms of authority. This commandment teaches us that God wants us to humbly submit to the authorities that he has placed in our lives, because by submitting to them, we are submitting to him. Human authorities are there because God is there and God gives them to us. So when you rebel against legitimate human authorities, you are rebelling against God, and rebelling against him is always a bad idea. A catechism briefly and clearly explains the meaning of this commandment. We are to show respect, love, and commitment, not only to our parents, but to all whom God has set over us as authorities. That includes teachers, government, police, office bearers, employers. Christians are those who honour legitimate authority, even if they disagree what's required of them. So long as it doesn't go against God's word, we obey. According to the catechism, we also have to have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings. Parents and other authorities, they're human beings too, and sometimes they drop the ball. Sometimes they fall short of what we would expect from those in authority. Yet we're still called to honour, respect, and obey because God has put them in that position. Look, the basic meaning of this commandment is pretty straightforward. Now, I could go line by line through the catechism and explain everything in more detail, but perhaps that's for another time. But this afternoon, I want to take a different approach. Let's look more closely at why and how we obey this commandment. And it's important to do that as part of a distinctly Christian approach to God's law. At home, I have a book by Dr. Laura Schlesinger on the Ten Commandments. If you don't know who Dr. Laura is, she's a famous radio personality in North America. She used to have a call-in radio show where she would give life and relationship advice. She has this book on the Ten Commandments, but she's not a Christian. She's Jewish. So naturally, there's nothing about Christ in her book on the Ten Commandments. There's nothing about the gospel. It's what you would expect from a Jew. But we're in a Christian church. I'm a Christian minister called to preach Christ. And when it comes to the law of God, we shouldn't sound like Jews or think like Jews. Here too, we need to hear about our Saviour Jesus Christ and how he gives us the right perspective. And so that's behind our theme this afternoon. For a right perspective on the fifth commandment, focus on Christ. In particular, we'll see that we need to look to him as our substitute and as our sanctifier. Whenever we consider God's law, it's good to reflect on our lives. When we hear about the Ten Commandments, we should look forward to how we're going to strive for more obedience in the future. But we should first look backwards at how we've done in the past. This is also true when it comes to the fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother. Think about it with me for a moment. Have you always shown honour, love, faithfulness to your parents? What about to others in authority over you? I know that I've fallen short. What about you? Have you always submitted yourself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline? Due obedience. That means sooner rather than later. And what about being patient with the weaknesses and shortcomings of those in authority over you? That's hard. Especially when you're a kid. You're pretty sure you know better than those parents or teachers. It's hard to be patient when parents and teachers just don't understand. You're so smart and they're so dull. How often have you forgotten that God put them in their position of authority over you? And when you're impatient with them, you're actually shaking your fist at God? It's so easy to do that, isn't it? If we look back in the past, we have to be honest and admit that we've all fallen short. Admit it, we all have a rebellious heart. Brothers and sisters, the Bible speaks clearly about the problem with this. Just take Proverbs 20, verse 20. If one curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. What God is saying there is that rebellion against authority is sinful foolishness that will fall under his judgment. When you rise up against your father or mother or any other authority God has placed in your life, it's foolish and sinful. And like all sins, it leads to God's condemnation. You might think that no one hears when you think some nasty things to yourself about your parents or your teacher or the police or whatever other authority, but God hears it. He says that your rebellion is sinful and wrong, and unless you turn from it, it leads to eternal death. But God has given a way out. We have rescue in Jesus Christ. Through him, we can escape the wrath of God against our rebellion. The law says that you're guilty. The gospel announces a way to deal with your guilt, and that way is through the cross. You must believe that Jesus Christ hung on the cross in your place as your substitute. You must believe that when he was on the cross, he took the wrath of God against your sin, including your sins against the fifth commandment. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. And do you remember what happened on the cross? Jesus, the one who never cursed his father or mother, his lamp was put out in utter darkness. There were 3 long hours of darkness on the cross. And why did he go through that when he had never deserved it? He chose to do that to bear your guilt and punishment. He did that in our place. Loved ones, you have to believe this. Believe that Jesus Christ bore God's wrath against your rebellious heart. And since he did that, Since he suffered God's wrath in the dark, your lamp will never be put out. Instead, you can live forever in the light of God's love. And this is God's grace towards you. Accept it, believe it, and rejoice in it. But there's yet more grace to be found in our Saviour's person and work. It's wonderful that we have forgiveness for all our sins on the cross. But Christ did more than just provide forgiveness for our sins. He also provides us with perfect righteousness through his life of obedience to God's law. You see, as Christians, our slates are not only wiped clean of all our wrongdoing, our slates are also then filled with all the good things that Jesus has done in his life, following God's commandments perfectly. And when our Father looks at us, he sees us as he sees his Son, his perfect law keepers. That's also true when it comes to the fifth commandment. Our Saviour always honoured and obeyed legitimate God-given authorities. And when it came to his parents, Luke tells us directly in Luke 2 verse 51 that Jesus was submissive to them. And when it came to other authorities, we could think of what we just read from Matthew 22. There, the Jewish religious leaders were testing him to see if he would say something against the Roman rulers. Would Jesus speak rebelliously against Caesar? But he didn't. Instead, he taught that taxes should be respectfully paid to those in authority. Our Saviour was not a rebel. In that instance, and in others recorded in the Bible, he showed honour, love, and faithfulness to God-given authority. And you can be sure that he did that all of the time. Loved ones, that's not a piece of Bible trivia. No, that's a key part of the gospel. The gospel promises that when your Saviour obeyed the fifth commandment, he did it in your place as your substitute. Focus on him. Look to him in faith and say, yes, this is my Saviour who obeyed God perfectly for me. I haven't kept the fifth commandment the way I should, but Jesus did it in my place. And now my Father looks at me and sees perfection. Along with the first Adam and all of his offspring, we are rebels in ourselves. But if we believe in the second Adam, if we believe in Jesus, we are considered to be loyal and obedient children. So there you have Jesus Christ as your substitute. He is your substitute on the cross, bringing you full forgiveness. He is also your substitute in his perfect life, bringing you complete righteousness. The demands of the fifth commandment are completely met in Jesus, and that's the best news one could hope for. With that news in hand, we get a new and right perspective on the fifth commandment. One could be tempted to take a wrong perspective. The wrong perspective would be to say, well, Jesus has done everything and so I can live however I want. The wrong thing to think would be, well, I'm saved, so no matter what I can disrespect my parents or other authorities and well, no problem. But this is so wrong. That way of thinking fails to reckon with why Jesus saved us. He saved us not only from hell in the hereafter, but also from disobedience and ungodliness right now. We are saved by Christ from a godless and worldly way of life as we live on this earth too. And do you need proof? Listen to what Ephesians 2 verse 10 says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Created in Christ Jesus. That's another way of speaking about how God has saved us in Christ. We are saved for the purpose of doing good works. We are graciously saved by God so that we could be increasingly obedient to his law, including the fifth commandment. God has shown us his grace to us. Not so that we would go off and do our own thing, but so that in thankfulness to him and love for him, we would do this, his thing, his law. Loved ones, the fifth commandment doesn't become irrelevant if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Saviour. That's assumed in Lord's Day 39. In our catechism, it's assumed that God still expects Christians to obey his law. You might ask, is that a biblical assumption? Well, consider what we read from Romans 13. The book of Romans is divided up into three parts, just like the catechism. There's guilt, grace, and gratitude. And Romans 12 begins the last part of the book, dealing with the Christian life of thanksgiving, gratitude, how we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And then chapter 13 comes along and supports the teaching of the fifth commandment, especially as it relates to the government. And Paul says that Christians redeemed by Christ cannot be rebellious people. Instead, they have to submit to the government, honour and respect those in authority. And when it comes to your taxes, don't cheat. Be a person of integrity and honesty. Pay what you owe and be a good citizen of the land. Now, you might think easy for Paul to say. Things were a lot better back then. Today, we have all this corruption in government and that makes it way harder for us. But hold on. Paul wasn't writing about a Christian government. The government in his day was the Roman Empire, and they were definitely not Christian or anything close. The Romans persecuted the Christians for the first centuries after Christ. Paul is writing in a context where the government was not moral, they were corrupt, and they had it in for Christians. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, regardless of what they do, they are in authority. Respect them, honour them, obey them. That's what God's law requires of Christians bought with the blood of Christ. And as we saw in Matthew 22, that's what Christ our Lord did too. Now we saw that he did that in our place. But he also did that to teach us as his master. And we often call Jesus Lord. He is our Lord Jesus. Lord means master or owner. We belong to him. As our Lord, he is also our teacher, our chief prophet. We are his disciples. We are his students, pupils of Christ, as the Belgic Confession puts it in Article 13. It's like we're in school and he's teaching us how to be like him. That's how discipleship worked back then, and that's how it's supposed to work today. Back then, a religious teacher would gather a school of disciples and the disciples would live with him, follow him around, watch him, learn from him. And the goal of the disciples would be to mirror their master. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 10 that the disciple needs to become like his teacher. If we are his disciples, then we want to become like him. You want people to look at your life and say, well, you can tell that you've been spending a lot of time with Jesus. That also holds true with regards to the fifth commandment. We see him in Scripture as one being obedient to his parents and others in authority. That's our teacher. We're his disciples, and therefore we want to be like our teacher. We want to follow his teachings, but also follow in his footsteps and walk like he did. He respected his parents. We want to respect our parents. He respected the ruling authorities. We want to respect the ruling authorities. That's part of how we look to Jesus as our sanctifier. A sanctifier. What's that? It's related to the word sanctification. And sanctification is the process by which we start to look more and more holy, set apart from sin, like Jesus. It's the process by which our life is being changed and transformed into Christ's likeness. Christ himself has an important role to play in that. He is our sanctifier. He's the one who directs and empowers this process with his Spirit and Word. He is changing our lives with his Holy Spirit and with the Bible. As we study the Bible, we see Christ, our teacher, and his Holy Spirit teaches us to follow him as his disciples. His Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. So Jesus Christ, as our teacher, is part of how that works. And there is another part that is just as important. And that part is illustrated with a picture of Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. Like a healthy grapevine, Jesus is alive and bearing fruit. His leaves are vigorous and green, and his fruit is abundant. Fruit, of course, stands for obedience or good works. And his healthy spiritual life produces obedience to God's commandments, including the fifth. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, says Scripture. Through faith and by the power of the Spirit, we are grafted into Jesus Christ. We are united to him in a mysterious but very real way. His sap, his life, is in us. And the type of fruit that he bears, we begin to bear it as well. But more than that, we want to bear that fruit. We pray to bear that fruit. And when it comes to the fifth commandment, we pray that Christ will help us with his Spirit so that we can do what his law says. We need to pray because in ourselves we don't have the wherewithal to do any of this. And so we pray. We pray that our Saviour will help us with his Spirit so that our hearts have the right attitude toward those in authority over us. We pray that Jesus will help us so that our minds have the right thoughts about those whom God has set over us. We pray that our Saviour will help us so that our lives do the right things when it comes to everyone in authority. Basically, we want to bear the same fruit as him. And so we ask for his Spirit to work that in our lives because we love him and we know that this pleases him. So, to review the second point, when it comes to the fifth commandment, we need to focus on Christ as our sanctifier. That means looking to him as our teacher, giving us the living example that students need. That also means prayerfully looking to him as the vine in whom we're grafted, giving us the power of his Spirit so that we can bear his fruit to his glory. But I need to say one last thing about the fifth commandment. It's important to say this because this commandment has sometimes been abused in the church. It's sad but true. Parents, teachers, and others have sometimes perverted this commandment so that they can abuse children. Physical, sexual, verbal, and psychological abuse has all happened because somebody said, the fifth commandment means you have to obey whatever I say, I'm over you, and you must obey no matter what. They abused a person and they abused God's law, all for their own selfish purposes. The Church of Jesus Christ must never stand by abusers and allow them to twist God's law like that and use it as a weapon. It is wicked in God's eyes and we must condemn it in the strongest possible words. As I've already mentioned, the fifth commandment does not call for unconditional obedience no matter what. If someone, anyone in authority, commands you to do something contrary to God's law, not only are you allowed to disobey, you must disobey them. If you disobey them, you are not sinning. You are doing the right thing. If someone is abusing you, you need to find someone you can trust and report it so that it can stop. The fifth commandment gives no one the right to hurt and abuse you. Again, look to our Saviour. He was compassionate and loving. He would never pervert God's law in order to hurt someone for his own selfish purposes. His church must do the same, must reflect him in this too. The world around us often hates authority and resists it. As Christians, we're called to be countercultural. We're called to be different. We're called to be disciples of the Saviour who gave himself for us. We're called to live in union with the Saviour who was obedient to death. Loved ones, doing that will give praise to Him, give a powerful testimony to the world, and also serve the benefit and well-being of everyone around us. Amen.